Most people will tell you that children are the future. Here at 16 and Under, we believe that they are the future of advertising.
This is the first agency in the world dedicated to marketing food and beverages to children, and only to children. Our research showed that their brains aren't fully developed yet. You'd think this would make our job harder, but actually, it made it a lot easier.
The way we see it, sugar is like a drug for kids these days. I mean, they are basically addicted to the stuff, which is great because our products are pretty much selling themselves.
The first step of marketing to kids is understanding their behavior, so we spend a lot of time up front doing field research.
If you want results, you need a strong reaction from consumers.
Which one sounds the most yummy?
You want to keep it vague, which is why we say the secret ingredient is magic, even though it's sugar.
Music takes everything to the next level. That's why we have a resident DJ who specializes in jingles.
Jingles? Oh, we call them brand bangers. Yeah, the kids want to hear a smash, like this.
So once the client approves the idea, we have to think about media. Thing is, these kids these days are seeing millions of ads a year. So to break through the clutter, we have to get in their face.
Does it work? Absolutely. We've had kids asking for our brands before they're even potty trained. It's called persuasion power, and this agency runs on it. As you can see, when kids behave, it's sleepy, but when they act like monsters, that's where the magic happens.
Well, the great thing about children is that there are new ones born every day. So if you have a product that you would like to get some sticky little hands on, let's talk.
Does it ever seem to you that the marketing of food to kids has a sinister aura? Namely, let's hook them on sugar and watch the sales skyrocket. Once you have them addicted, they're a client for life. Well, you're right. That is what's happening. And marketers are doing it intentionally. Sugar, sugar, sugar all the time. And it has devastating lifelong health effects on children. Heart and Stroke Canada wants the federal government to enact legislation that will put an end to the marketing of sugar-rich, highly processed junk foods to kids. They believe that marketing to kids is targeting a highly susceptible demographic, and they believe marketers should pick on someone their own size. Of particular concern is a bombardment technique that leads to a thing we discuss called the nag factor. What's fueling the nag factor? Well, it's endless advertising. Advertising the Stop Marketing to Kids Coalition says has to be outlawed. We asked Mark Collison of Heart and Stroke to join us for a conversation that matters about how the marketing of food to kids is affecting their lifelong health.
Conversations That Matter is a partner program for the Center for Dialogue at Simon Fraser University. The production of this program is made possible thanks to the support of the following and viewers like you.
Welcome.
Thank you.
We're at a really interesting time in the sort of the evolution of food, the way that it's made, so much of it prepackaged, but then more importantly about how it is marketed to children. And you, working with Heart and Stroke, at Heart and Stroke, want to change the landscape that all of that operates under. How come?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of reasons, but I would say that we've hit a point now, Stuart, where essentially we're absolutely bombarding our children and youth with marketing. Mm-hmm. We're actually marketing them to death. And we know that 90% of what's being marketed to kids are unhealthy in that they're high in sugar, salt, and fat. And it's time to stop that.
Well, and they're processed foods, right?
And they're processed foods, exactly. With the difference being between processed food, many things are processed, just lightly processed, you know, even chopping up vegetables in the supermarket or packaging meat, that's processed, but it's the ultra-processed food mm-hmm. is that we really have to stay away from, because it's basically a derivation of different formulas and additives. And when you look at the endpoint, there's barely any intact food in that. It's a lot of chemicals, and it's really not good for you.
So you feel full, and you feel like you're getting food, but it's not really.
No, it's not. You're not getting the nutrients that your body needs. And it's setting up all sorts of chronic diseases, metabolic syndrome, and things that we haven't seen. We're seeing kids now in their early teens, late teens, with type 2 adult onset diabetes. This is unprecedented. We're not seeing those kinds of diseases.
And that's because the food is driving them into that spike collapse process of an increase in blood sugar, and then the insulin gets released, and they just get into that vicious cycle.
Exactly. Higher blood pressure, higher cholesterol, higher blood sugars, all in our youth now. And this wasn't the situation 40, 50 years ago, when we really did a lot more cooking and preparation from whole foods, mm-hmm. ate a lot more fruits and vegetables.
Well, you had a graph in there that showed the amount of food or on a proportional basis that was pre-packaged going back 50, 60 years ago versus today. And it's like quadrupled or more.
Yes, that's right.
It's extraordinary.
There's been, a 70% increase in processed food, ultra-processed food, forming the family food basket, up to the point now where it's greater than 50%. And children and youth are probably the ones that are most affected by that, because mm-hmm. they're getting about 60% of their calories from ultra-processed food.
So what are the long-term health consequences of that? And why is it so important to heart and stroke?
Well, I mean, it comes down to the fact that, you know, a lot of the diseases that we're targeted on reducing in taking the burden off Canadians is heart disease and stroke. And we know that 9 out of 10 Canadians have at least one risk factor for heart disease and stroke. Mm-hmm. And when you look at that constellation of risk factors, one of them is diet-related disease. Mm-hmm. Now, here's something startling that you may or may not know. That diet-related disease now is the number one killer of Canadians. It now has, in terms of preventable death, it's now exceeded tobacco. So we're looking at about $26 billion a year that is spent on diet-related disease. So it's important for us, because if we can do something in that chain mm-hmm. to address the risk factors that lead to this trajectory of chronic disease, then we should act. And we should act around diet, especially around the marketing to unhealthy foods and vegetables to kids, mm-hmm. because industry has had over 10 years now to do something about this. This isn't news.
No, it's not.
No, yeah. It's been brought to their attention a couple of times. There's a childhood food and beverage advertising initiative that's a voluntary measure that a number of companies put together, said, okay, we hear you, we'll do something about this. They've had two kicks at the can. It's been an abysmal failure. As a matter of fact, many of those signatories to that initiative have actually increased their advertising.
So I just got to get you to hang on for a second while we take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back. Sorry for the interruption, but I need your help. I'm asking you to support the show by becoming a patron. That means pledging $1 per show. Conversations is a unique program. There's no grandstanding, no arguing, no yelling. Instead, I sit down with people who have unique insights, specialized knowledge, and experiences that inform and enlighten. And we do this on an incredibly limited budget with a very small crew. Well, this is my office, and it's where I edit the show. And then once it's ready, we give it away. You know, so many different websites around the world are carrying the show, but they get it for free. They don't pay us. So I'm asking you to pledge $1 per show by going to patreon.com/conversationsthatmatter. Thanks. We want to keep producing conversations, and with your help, we can. Now let's get back to the show. Why target children? Aren't mothers primarily the decision makers when it comes to buying food and what goes on the table?
Well, you know, the issue kind of hits us at three levels. There's the issue that we already just briefly mentioned, and that's children. It's bad for their health. Mm-hmm. You know, children really should be setting themselves on a trajectory of healthy eating, and now we're seeing the health consequences. So that's one piece of it. We've got to do this to protect our children. Children don't necessarily understand often the intent of marketing and advertising from reality. So you're preying on a vulnerable population, and you have to ask yourself, really, is that ethical? Mm-hmm. If these foods are known to be unhealthy, is it really ethical as a society? Are we going to put up with that? Those products being peddled and marketed mm-hmm. in a very sophisticated ways to kids. So that's the first the reason. The second reason is the parent reason that you bring up.
Yeah.
So you've got parents that are often working, you know, two jobs each, busy, come and go, and they're trying to inculcate, you know, healthy eating habits in their kids, amongst all the other things that a parent are tasked with in their daily living. It's a busy life, mm-hmm. and you're competing against a multi-billion-dollar industry that uses neuromarketing techniques and all sorts of marketing mediums and tactics and ploys and incentives to compete with your children's attention and, mm-hmm. and draw their preferences towards their food products.
Right.
So it's kind of a more of a social justice issue than a market mm-hmm. issue. Is that, you know, is it really fair that we've got these huge multinationals spending billions of dollars directly at your children that are setting up kind of a bit of friction in the family, because they've studied this stuff to the nth degree. They've okay. actually have the thing they call pester power.
It's called what?
Pester power.
Pester power.
It's the nag factor. And they've actually done studies that they've come to the conclusion that at the 13th time when the mother's in the supermarket after work shopping with her kids and the kid is in the cart and they're in the cereal aisle and she's picking up some muesli or granola or whatever it might be, a healthier options, and all the other sugary cereals are right there, the kids will keep pestering, and they figured out that it's the 13th time that the kid asks for that finally the parent will concede and say, okay, you can have it. You can have it this time. But that's the chink in the armor.
Just because they want to appease the child or have the nagging
exactly.
go away.
That's exactly right. So
And they've got this down to a science. They know
do.
It's the 13th
yep,
time.
Yep. I recommend a book by Michael Moss called Sugar, Salt, Fat. And he's an investigative reporter, mm-hmm. and he delves deeply into this whole thing around the food and the science behind it. And there's all things like, you know, the nag factor, the pester power, the bliss point, where they actually do research on kids to see where, at the point in that kind of curve, mm-hmm. do you actually hit kind of oblivion, or the absolute sweet spot in terms of the amount of sugar or fat you put in food. So you've almost hit the very ultimate point, then you back it off a bit because it leaves you wanting a bit more. Big, big industry, big, big amounts.
Okay, so let's say mom or dad go, okay, fine, this time only. Have they already lost the battle at that point?
They have lost the battle. And there's also pressure that comes within the supermarket, and there's the pressure that comes at school. You open your lunchbox, you know, and you've got maybe some healthy
carrot
food
sticks.
There, and there's yeah. lots of trading that goes on, but there's marketing that happens within the food environment at schools, at rec centers, you know, the whole shebang. So there's that. And then there's the whole thing around celebrities and, you know, celebrity endorsements of food. I mean, you know, an example, and she's an absolutely fantastic soccer player and leader for our youth. But as an example, when the Women's World Cup was on a few years ago, there was an ad that featured Christine Sinclair mm-hmm. sitting in an apartment on a sofa with another young girl, drinking Cokes and gaming. Well, I ask you, do you think that Christine Sinclair got to where she is by sitting on a couch gaming and drinking Coke? No. But that sets the wrong message to young females that are wanting to be like Christine Sinclair. You know, it's like Beyonce, amazing dancer, entertainer, but she's paid multi-million dollars by Pepsi to peddle their product. And that has an influence on kids for sure.
So you got mom and dad, they're trying to live their lives, trying to survive, trying to pay the bills, meet the demands of their job, look after the kids. And, well, they're not ever vigilant or being able to stay on top of the kids, social media, television, radio, any kind of print, like, are bombarding these children with other or contrary messages.
It's absolutely omnipresent. It's everywhere you go. And when you start to look at it, you'll see more and more. So, you know, as you may know, last year for our Heart Month report, we did a report called The Kids Are Not All Right. Mm-hmm. And it was the first time it focused on non-traditional media. So rather than, you know, print, radio or television, it looked at what's the influence that the internet has in terms of kids and marketing.
Well, it must be astronomical.
It is astronomical. Between the ages of 6 and 11, they determined that collectively all kids in Canada see about 25 million ads per year off their favorite websites.
What?
Yes.
Per year?
Per year.
Those
are pop-up ads and banner ads and ads that are on their favorite websites. So they're getting bombarded there. Kids, on average, watch about maybe 2 hours of television per day, and they're seeing probably Canada's a little higher than other countries. They're seeing probably about 5 or 6 junk food ads per hour. So you
day in, day out.
So you figure they're getting probably 10 or 12 per day from television. Add to that the internet. They could be exposed to 20 to 30 ads per day, per week, per year, and on it goes. So it really is becoming ingrained.
Wow. Well, you've got that little spoof video about the under 16 ad agency, and there's a guy talking about, he says, you know, we're talking about an audience that has an underdeveloped and immature brain. And at first you'd think, well, that's going to make our job harder. Actually, it makes our job easier. And because they don't have the ability to discern the value of that information, they're just getting overwhelmed.
Exactly. Young kids can't discern between the advertising and the content of the shows. And then when they get to be maybe between 9 and 12, they can, but they don't really understand the intent of marketing, and it's to try and hook them and get them as lifelong customers. And then what we're also seeing is that teens are also susceptible, even though their brains are more developed. Mm-hmm. They go through the puberty and that hormonal changes. And the marketers know that teens are very impulsive, mm-hmm. and they really thrive on social inclusion. So the ads and such are geared to attract youth to their foods to make it cool. Yeah. You can be somebody or be something if you have this food. It's very subtle, but it actually works.
And once you start eating this way, it's very, very difficult to change.
It is. It's very hard.
It's my understanding that the microbiome, like in our gut, those organisms feed off the sugars and other products that are in the foods that are our normal diet. Well, if you all of a sudden change your diet, that organism or those organisms in your body send a message to your brain saying, hello, I'm starving, right. Give me more of that stuff, and they make you feel really uncomfortable. So changing becomes harder.
It does. It's a slow and gradual process, but we have to wean ourselves off that. You know, Canadians, you know, all people, we need to return to our roots, to simple basic food, whole food, you know, a balanced diet with lots of whole foods, lots of fruits and vegetables, smaller portion sizes, you know, lose the sugary drinks, just drink water.
So we keep hearing that message nowhere near as often as the other messages. It's not enough though, and you've decided that you're saying we got to go the legislative route.
We do. So, you know, the Stop Marketing to Kids Coalition, we've been around for about 4 years now. 2 years of it was kind of bring together the experts, the clinicians, the researchers, the people that were really interested in this area, so we could build our base of evidence and research, so we have a really solid foundation to work from. Mm-hmm. And then we formally launched the coalition a couple of years ago. We've been at the federal government for a number of years now. Under the previous federal government, mm-hmm. under the watch of Stephen Harper, there wasn't much interest in the nutrition file.
There wasn't?
No, we were quite disappointed.
Even though there is a direct financial cost to health expenses.
Absolutely. We said it earlier, you know, diet-related diseases, you know, costing the Canadian taxpayers $26 million a year. But, you know, for whatever reason, there was some feeling that industry could self-regulate, this would happen on its own. You know, even the reductions of sodium in the food, there was a task force set up to slowly titrate down the amount of sodium that Canadians eat. That was kind of put on hold. Right. Even trans fat, which are known killers that increase the bad cholesterol and actually reduce the good cholesterol, they're still present in many foods. So under the new government, the new Liberal government, they've really embraced health eating, and they actually have what they're calling the healthy eating strategy. And it's kind of a four-part project. So one of it is actually starting to reduce the amount of sodium that we eat, which mm-hmm. is way, way too much, and also has its health consequences. Right. They've actually moved now to eliminate trans fat entirely from the food supply in Canada, which is a really great thing, right? So they're doing revisions to the Canada Food Guide, updating it, and you know, focusing more on whole foods and balanced foods and making it a little bit more accessible and understandable to Canadians. They just recently had last week a really great announcement around front of pack nutrition labeling. So you're going to see in the coming years on the front of packaged foods a little magnifying glass, which will draw your attention to products that are high in sugar salt.
So what does that proposed legislation look like?
Essentially what that bill is calling for is restricting the marketing of unhealthy food and beverages to children under the age of 13. This is really a public health initiative. I mean, you know, public health is there to protect people in society, and especially protect people that are most vulnerable. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if everything was well and there wasn't this, you know, behemoth industry that's really mostly concerned about profits and not people's health doing the success of marketing to kids, then we wouldn't need this. We have to step in now. We've got to break this trajectory of chronic disease in Canada,
right.
Or our whole healthcare system that we cherish is going to come down.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, this is not the panacea to obesity or to chronic disease, but it is a really important step. And it's a very cost-effective step. It's, you know, the World Health Organization has recognized that the introduction of such things as regulation, legislation around restricting marketing of kids is probably the most cost-effective intervention government can do.
Mm-hmm.
And it could actually reduce the incidence of obesity by 14 to 33% in and of itself.
Well, and then I guess one of the other great elements of once you have the legislative framework in place, you can start to refine what those regulations are as you see other issues pop up and you go, ah, okay, we can tweak this by a rule change. And then that forces the hand of industry, doesn't it?
Exactly. So the bill that I just mentioned that the government's putting through, and it's Bill S-228, it's a great bill, and we're happy with it, but the coalition were a little bit more idealist, and what we really wanted to see was that age restriction to be 16 and under.
Mm-hmm.
We wanted to see some protection for teenagers and adolescents as well, as I mentioned earlier, the impulsivity thing. These kids are really targeted by industry because they have a bit more discretionary spending. They're pulling out underneath the control of their parents, and so marketers will really, really go at that group,
mm-hmm.
especially for sugary drinks. So the coalition, we wanted to see 16 and under as the cutoff. The government, though, chose to go with 13 and under because that's what they have in Quebec. And
mm-hmm.
we have a kind of a virtual experiment happening here right in Canada around this already, because in the 1980s, the Quebec legislature introduced a bill
mm-hmm.
under the Consumer Protection Act that does exactly that. But rather than restrict food and beverage to kids, it restricts all marketing to kids. It just says, let kids be kids.
Yeah.
And let these big marketing machines, leave them alone, pick on someone your own age.
Your own size.
Yeah, exactly. So they've banned all. So, you know, the technology, everything, and they just let the parents do their job and let the kids get on with it.
Yeah.
So the government, I think when they looked at the 16 and under and the 13 and under, they thought that the Quebec legislation has withstood a charter challenge.
Yeah.
And so they said, let's start there. But let's keep a close eye on what's happening as a result of that bill to teenagers, and if we see that marketers
mm-hmm.
and the food and beverage industry is putting disproportional amounts of resources and funding into targeting teens, then we need to address that. So they put in a review period.
Well, and the good thing about that then is it just becomes a regulation change rather than a legislative change.
Exactly. Let's make Canada the healthiest that we can be.
Couldn't agree more. Thank you very much for doing this.
Thank you, Stuart.